You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Simon Chaf Aleph is, I would say, in a sense, more agadic as opposed to the regular straight halacha that we've been learning. It's more about the care that a person should have in terms of interacting with the opposite gender, in terms of the violations of Yisurim, of Hirhurim, of Histaklus, the kind of thing that a high school rebbe might, if he wanted to gather Namar Makomos for his high school shir to look at, these would be the Namar Makomos that he would gather. So we are looking, we saw a number of sources last week in terms of his Histaklus. We're going to look at some other things today, and hopefully the second half of the shir will be a little bit more be'iyun in the sugya specifically of Kol Isha, which comes up right here, as we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll get into some of the very specific details of Kol Isha. But before we get to Kol Isha, we're going to talk about some halachas in terms of walking behind a woman. What are the parameters of that? The leniencies, the non-leniencies, and let's begin with the Rambam in Hilchos Yisuri Bia Perek Chaf Aleph. It's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch is Simen Chaf Aleph and the Rambam is Perek Chaf Aleph. It's easy to remember that way. So just remember Chaf Aleph, and that's where you get the chizik to be careful in what we see. So the Rambam tells us, Asur l'adam likrotz biyadav, to make hand motions, uberaglav, olirmos be'enav, to wink, la'achas min ha'arayos, olischok imas, if you see a married woman across the mechitza, even though there's a mechitza between you, if you start looking at each other, googly eyes, and start winking at each other, that would be aser. You're in an elevator with an erva, with a married woman, with a your daughter-in-law, and you know she's wearing perfume, and you you know lean forward a little bit and go to enjoy her perfume. That would be an iser. Okay, and most importantly, to gaze at her beauty also is aser. And imagine if we practiced what the Rambam writes. Imagine if every time a man and gaze at an attractive woman, we would be makin lemiskavin ledavizem makas mardas. Could you imagine how much makas mardas there'd be in New York City on the New York City trains if everybody who would be looking at an attractive woman, we'd give them makas mardas? Now, obviously, makas mardas is only derabbanan. It means that it's not daraisa that we give makas for this, because perhaps it's not a defined maisa. I don't know if histaklus is a defined maisa that could warrant makas midor malkas daraisa. But it's also enough that the Bezdin, if they see somebody who's looking at, you know, on the street outside of, you know, Klal Yisrael, they say, you know, you can look but don't touch. By us, that's not true. You can't touch, nor can you look. So important to keep in mind as we walk down the streets or ride the trains, etc. V'hamistakel concludes the Rambam. Afil be'etzba ketana shel isha v'niskavin lehanos. If a person would look be'etzba ketana, now why does it say etzba ketana? Because that's a part of a body that's always, always visible. We're not talking about a woman who's wearing a sleeveless tank top or something like that. And then it would be, you know, looking at her shoulders, that would definitely be awesome. We're talking about fingers that are always visible, and it's not in any which way a davar she'be'erva, and it's not in any which way a makom mechusa. Yet still, if the goal, if the purpose of looking at it is to derive some kind of erotic pleasure from it, then it would be, says the Rambam, kami, based on the Chazal, kamishan is taka b'makam hatoref, as though one is looking at an inappropriate location of a person's, of a woman's body. That would be aser. And finally, vafil lishmoa kol ha'erva oliros saira aser. So too is kolisha, and even to look at her hair, I assume he means in a way that's to derive pleasure, that would be aser. Now, the next halach, v'advarim ha'elu asurim b'chayvei lavin. These isurim apply to women, not only to arayos, who are asur to you, achi anisur kares, like an eshes ish, but even to those who are chayvei lavin. So if any of you are a kohen, and you look at a divorcee with that, to derive benefit, that would be clearly asur. What about a penuya? What about a penuya tahora? Now, every woman who's, you know, any high school girl, you have to assume she's probably a nida. So this next halacha is relatively not so nogeil maisa. But let's say you have a young girl, an 11-year-old girl or a 12-year-old girl who, let's say, is not a nida, and she's single, so she's not an erva. So kol b'risha erva, well, she's not an erva. Looking at an erva, you're not supposed to look at an erva. Well, she's not an erva. So could you look at her? Yes, even to the right benefit. Let's see. Umotel histaku b'pnei ha'penuya ulibadka b'besul b'beula kedei sheyira imhina b'einav yisaena. So if you want to look at a woman, if you're looking to get married and you want to look at a woman to determine if you want to marry her, ein bazet sad iser, not only is it not inappropriate, but it's proper and it's low elisha royla, says Kin. It's important to make sure that you look at your wife, your the girl you're going out with, to decide if you are attracted to her. Because, like the Gemara Kedushin says, because if you don't, it's going to lead to a chisaron in how you treat her. If you're married to a woman whom you don't appreciate how she looks, you will not treat her properly, and that will be a violation of v'ahavtarecha kamocha too. It's interesting. People think about v'ahavtarecha kamocha applying to everybody in the world. We forget that it most firstly applies to one's wife. And one's wife is no less v'ahavtarecha kamocha than all the other chesed that we do in the world. That's this Gemara that says, this Gemara condition that the Rambam is based on, that you're supposed to appreciate how your wife looks because you want to make sure you appreciate you treat her properly based on v'ahavtarecha kamocha. Now, I want to ask you a question. If it was really an iser to gaze and to see if you're attracted to a pnuya, would it be permitted if you'd want to get married to her? The poskim say that the fact that the Rambam says that you're allowed to look at her to see if you want to get married, it can't be that it's an iser. Because if it's a real bona fide iser, then we're not going to say, oh, you're allowed to do an iser to make sure you like her. You're not allowed to do isurim to make sure you like somebody. So it must be that really it's not an iser. To be mistakel b'pnei pinuya to see if you're attracted to her is not the right thing to do, unless it's the right, unless it's in the context of going out with her to see if you want to marry her. But it's not an iser. Why? Because she's a pnuya tahora. So if she's a pnuya tahora, it's not an iser at all. It's not the right thing to do. And therefore, since it's it's not the right thing to do normally, but if it's for marriage, during dating, then it would be even a lechatchila thing to do.
So people could ask for like a shidduch pictures and stuff like that.
I don't want to discuss shidduch pictures. That probably depends on the society and the community. But would it be usher for a boy to look at a shidduch picture to see if he wants to go out with a girl? I can't say it's usher. If that's,
I mean, he says he mutter l'stakel v'nei pnuya to see.
Well, if he's allowed to go on a date, he's with her and look at her. There's no reason why he can't look at a picture, to look at her. Is it the right thing to do? Is it a smart thing to do? That's a different question. That's not for Natsa, for a different forum. Even though the Rambam says a person going out with a girl is allowed to look at her to make sure that he's going to be attracted to her, aval zak the Rambam lo yistakel derech znus, to look in a way of znustik away, that is a pasuk not in Chumash but in the Nevi'im that says bris karati le'enai bris karasi karati le'enai uma esbonin al besula, of even by looking at a besula, at a meaning a pnuya, is even a tahora, it's still a violation of the bris of the enayim not to look inappropriately with inappropriate thoughts, even though she is it is for the purpose of marriage. So we have a fabulous Ravid here. The Ravid comes and says, we just finished saying that, if you're dating a yeshiva boy, he definitely should go out on a date, and he shouldn't just get set up. He should go out on a date and look at her, make sure that she's pleasing in his eyes. Comes the Ravid and says something very, he quotes a chazal, a gemara, that's very telling. Chachamim amru, hai tzur v'mirabanan. You have a yeshiva kid. Yeshiva kid, let's say he doesn't have any sisters. He didn't have any, of his sister's friends in the house. He's been in yeshiva for the past 10 years. He doesn't know what's pretty, what's not pretty. He's going to get married to Azla Kedusha Itza. You know what he should do? He should take an Am Haaretz with him. He should schlep along on a date. Talk about double dates, a different kind of double date. You have a real Ben Torah who never saw a girl, a Chassidisha Chassidisha Bacher. He should take an Am Haaretz, a Litvisha boy with him, maybe. Dilma Michlefa Aleiminei. So that you know, nothing should get confused that he'll know really what she looks like, because what does he know? So, you know, lahavdil. You know, if you see a dog, all the dogs look the same unless you have dogs. If you never see a girl, all the girls look the same. You know, she has long hair and lipstick. I don't know, you know, this girl, that girl, they all look the same. So make sure somebody who's like that, who's so insulated, should take an Am Haaretz with him to make sure that that he knows who he's actually going out with. Says the Ravid, Alma ein derech Talmud Chacham b'chach. You see from this that a Talmud Chacham, it's not proper that he should go and inspect the girl so carefully, because when we're talking about a Talmud Chacham, we say, bring an Am Haaretz. Why not bring why an Am Haaretz? It sounds like because an upstanding Jewish citizen wouldn't be looking at the girl to determine if she's attractive or not, even though we're talking about a Pnuya Torah. So what could I say? I would advise, all of our single boys that they should look at their dates and they should make sure that they are comfortable with what their dates look like. And if not, then, if you're Hasidish, ask your Hasidish, maybe they did things differently or should do differently.
What's Michlefer mean? He's going to switch it? He's going to...
I think that they'll do a switcheroo like by Lavan.
So then why are they, by the Hasidus, why are the girls totally covered up?
So before they're covered, even if a girl has a veil, usually before the chuppah, we lift up the veil to make sure that you could see who it is.
What happened to the beauties in the eye of the beholder?
That's the badekin.
Yeah, that's the badekin. Beauties in the eyes of the beholder, that's a good question. So it could be that here the Am Haaretz is being brought not to determine is she pretty or not, but more that we won't get switched. But that's a good point. Okay. Now, the Beis Yosef is going to bring what Mamish sounds like a Moser Shmuz from the Sefer Orchis Chaim. And it's unusual, and I wanted to bring it because it's not the typical way that the Beis Yosef speaks or cites in terms of, being the pure halachic Sefer that it is. But yet you'll see how he writes and waxes eloquent about this issue of Histaklus Benashim. Kasa Baruchas Chaim, B'Shem Rav Rabbeinu Yonah. Asur lehistakel b'eshes ishmen ha-Torah. Looking at a married woman is no less than an Isser mi de'oraisa. He's talking about a woman who's an erva to you, like an eshes ish. Shnemar v'lo sasurach elevavchem v'acharei einechem. So that's going to be Asur mi de'oraisa. Okay. That's only if she's an erva. If she is, I'm not talking about her. Just looking. Acharei einechem. Just looking at an attractive married woman. Look at admiring the sheitel of somebody down the block. That would be an issur d'oraisa. If she's single, and let's add that she's a tahora, pnuya tahora. V'asul histaka b'pnuya. That's only asur from a pasuk in Iov. Not midaraisa bris karati le'enai umayas b'nei abasu. That's the puzzle that we saw earlier, that even for a penuya, it's a violation to gaze at the beauty even of a single girl. Now look what the Beis Yosef adds. V'chol mistaka be'eshes ish, machshil umachish koach yitzrav hatov. His yitzrav tov will be weakened by that gazing. V'hodo nefach alav l'mashchis. I don't know how to translate that. His glory will come to be destroyed. Shekach om razal komistaka barayos kishton and eres. Maybe it means he will become he'll become more impotent. I don't know exactly how to translate that, but the point is that it's not good for a person to gaze at an erva. Okay. What about somebody who is careful about his watching, his gazing, his looking? Vasher lo nasa eina velashes ish, somebody who's careful with what he looks at. V'sechezena zocha, he's zocha to v'sechezena eina b'noam Hashem. He will see the sweetness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mida k'negin mida, as Chazal say, ko ha-kovesh eina min harayas, somebody who shields his eyes from looking inappropriately. Zochu mekabo p'nei shechina, shnemar otzayim eina v'miros b'ra. Somebody, Pasuk Yeshaya, who clenches his eyes from seeing evil, not that we're calling him people evil, but looking at them in a certain way would be an evil way of looking. And right after, the Pasuk says, Melech b'yofio techezen einecho, you'll see the glory of the king, meaning the king Hashem, and therefore somebody who's careful about what they look at will be zocha to experience a higher level of experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was histaklus without any hirhur. Once we get into there, we see a distinction between an eshes ish and erva as opposed to a pnuya. However, when we talk about hirhur, this is actual thoughts, inappropriate thoughts. Osman haTorah lahar beisha afilu bepnuya. Even if she's a pnuya tahora, the hirhur, again, the gazing by a pnuya tahora is not asumidaraisa, but the hirhur is itself an issa daraisa, even if it's hirhur relating to a pnuya. And the next line is confounding. The chomer hirhur pnuya mimaga. It's worse in a certain dimension to have thoughts about a pnuya than actually touching her. Why? Sha'al ha'hirhur over b'lav min ha'Torah, sh'nemar nishmata b'chol davara. The thoughts that could lead, as the pasuk says, you should guide, protect yourself from davara, which the Chazal understands, sh'lo yahar adam bayom, a person, if he thinks during the day, could potentially come to have a seminal emission at night while he's sleeping. And that would be an Issa Daraisa. And that means the hirhur is a violation of an Issa Daraisa. But if you would touch a Pnuya Tahara, there's no direct Issa, right? People talk about taking pictures before the wedding, right? After the woman, the chasen kala, the kala went to the mikveh 3 days before, 2 days before the chasna, right? She's now, they're not yet married. She's a single girl, but she's a pnuya tahora. Are they allowed to take pictures together? Okay, you don't want to see her before the wedding? Fine, that's a nice minug that I don't even know any source in the Shulchan Aruch for. Okay, so you'll see her before the wedding. Are you allowed to touch her before the wedding? Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. Why? What's the isser? Pnuya tahora. There's no isser negiyah. That's what the Beis Yosef is saying here. The Beis Yosef is saying, a Pnuya Tahora, there's no Issa Negia. But if there are thoughts, that's Mamash and Issa Daraisa. So obviously, if you have a Chasen Kala, and he's given the opportunity to touch his Kala for the first time because she just went to the mikveh, and you know, it's very possible that touching her could lead to Hirhurim, so that is true, and therefore you'll have the Hirhurim present. But fundamentally, a Negia to a woman who's not an Erva because she's a Pnuya Tahora, there's no Isser. There's no Isser Negia, right? But, says the Beis Yosef, there is an Isser Daraisa of Hirhur. So in a certain sense, it's very literal. That which the Beis Yosef concludes, Chamer Hirhur Pnuya Mima Ga. It's worse to think about her than actually to touch her. Again, the only problem with his equation is that most often, if he's touching her, that's going to lead to her in and of itself. So you'll have the Hirhur anyway. But if it would just be touching without any hirhur, if that would be shayach, which might not be so easy to come by, then theoretically that would be not asur, but the hirhurim, the graphic hirhurim would be an issa daraisa. Okay, that was all the Rambam, the Beis Yosef. Now let's see how this is. All these halachas are paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's open up the Shulchan Aruch. Evan Hazer, Simon Chaf Aleph. I think this is Sif Aleph. Says the Shulchan Aruch or Sif Beis. Tzarech Adam Hisrachik Minashim Ma'od Ma'od. You have to stay far, far away from women. Doesn't mean your wife. It means other women. That's a very unusual word. The Shulchan Aruch very rarely says you should be careful about a certain avera, ma'od, ma'od. Why does here he use this double language of ma'od, ma'od that we don't find in other places except for rare exceptions? This is a question of Beis Shmuel. And the answer is readily obvious. Since there's a very powerful Yetzirah specifically in this area, the Shulchan Aruch has to warn you, ma'od, ma'od, doubly careful. Where else do we find this kind of strong language? Fascinating. By ribis also, where there's a very strong, you know, a person tells himself, what do you mean? I'm putting myself out for somebody else. I'm lending money. I shouldn't be able to charge interest. It's totally fair. The banks do it. The world works. The whole world runs on interest. I shouldn't be able to charge interest. That's also the Torah said that the Shulchan Aruch also there says by ribis, ma'od ma'od. Where else? V'choshen mishpat gabi shochad. Also, when it comes to chosha, which is also when it comes to money and women, that's where the Shulchan Aruch has to say the word ma'od ma'od. Be very, very exceedingly careful because these are things that people, you know, are pulled to. Even though not everybody, do we assume, is nichshol in arayos, Koshlif Rosh Yoshtim Misharve, somebody who is into this kind of Avera, an Avera of this sort, is very difficult to distance oneself from these Averas if once somebody's already in it. And therefore, that's why we have the double warning of Ma'od Ma'od. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch continues. Quoting the Rambam, also the quotes, Biyadav, you can't, you know, wave in that kind of, you know, flirty kind of, flirtatious kind of waving. Oberaglav, don't know how you do that. Vilirmos Be'enav, and to wink, and googly eyes. Le'echad me'arayas. Vasilisko kima. Lahakal rosh kenegda, oh, lahabit biyafya. All these things relate to arayas. And you're not allowed to, talk flirtatiously and gaze at her beauty equally. So now what's the issue of looking at gazing at her beauty? So the Beis Shmuel says that what we, I think, saw, harikos of the osmidoraisa, shnemar losos rachelivavchem, varamam srile midrabonan. The Rambam writes that gazing at a woman's beauty, even an erva's beauty, the gazing itself is only midirabanan. Really? What about velosa surachil anichem? Where did the Rambam say that that's only dirabanan? Oh, look here. The Rambam, when he said that you can't look at, right, he's talking about even one of the arayos, for example, an eshes ish. What does he say? He says, you're not allowed to look at her beauty, and if you do, then what do we give you? Makas Mardus. Oh, if the Rambam held, that would be an Isidoraisa of Vacharei Nechem. Losus Vacharei Nechem. Maybe the Rambam should have said you get Malkus Arbaim, 39 Malkus. So if in fact the Rambam only says Makas Mardus, that means that the Rambam holds that even gazing at an Erva is only Asadrabanan. And I guess he assumes that Vlos Surah Rei Nechem is only an Asmachta. That's funny. I wouldn't have said that. I would have said, of course, it's an Isidaraisa, but it's like Ein Bo Maisa. Vlos Surah Rei Nechem, that's like a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. That's why you don't get Malkus Daraisa. Where does he see that the Rambam holds that it's only Asidarabanan? Not sure. I would have thought it's Asidaraisa, just you don't get Malkus on it. Okay, so anyway, he assumes, Beis Shmuel is suggesting that it's taka machlokas, whether looking intentionally at a woman, a married woman, for example, to enjoy, to look at her beautiful sheitel, and to gaze at such a woman would be, it's machlokas, it's as deraisa derabanan. Would be pnuya? Everyone agrees that that would be only, again, pnuya tahora, because once she's a nida, then she's one of the arayas. So when we talk about a pnuya, we mean a pnuya tahora, that would only be asumi dibre kabal, the paskin iov that we saw earlier. However, he makes the distinction. Once there is hear her, not just to appreciate, sometimes a pretty woman could walk by and a person just enjoys looking, but they don't, and stops there. Okay, machlokas, if she's penuya, if she's arayas, derais, derabanan. But if there would be hear her, then it doesn't matter who it's about, then it would be asur deraisa. That's fine. Let's move on in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch continues with the other halakha.
If he's not in shidduchim, is he allowed to look?
What?
If he's not actively pursuing a shidduch in shidduchim, the parsha, then is he not allowed to look? Or, hey, maybe I'll take two if she's nice.
Oh, you mean, let's say he's just, he's married. And, yeah. If he finds another pretty girl, he'll marry another girl.
Or get rid of the first one, according to one Tana.
If I find a pretty girl, I'll divorce my wife. And I would assume that if a person is not in the leniency that we saw before to look at a woman to marry her, would probably be once you're in the parsha of marrying. Just to keep your eyes open in case you find a prettier woman than your own wife. I don't hedging. Know if that would be certainly not a wise
it's
thing, certainly not a healthy
it's
thing.
It's hedging, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's a wise thing, but probably not a mutter thing either. Okay, continues the Rambam. So again, you sense you're in an elevator and you can't smell a woman's anarayos. So again, if she's a pnuya tahora, you could. But if she's not a pnuya tahora, we'll see what's good, the din for a Gentile woman. Is she considered an erva? No kares. So is that going to be also to smell? If you're in an elevator and there's a Gentile woman there who's wearing perfume, are you allowed to just, enjoy the smell or not? Okay. Va'asul histaka v'nashim sh'ondas la'kvisa. That's like the general, you know, thing that we see in Chazal. Women, I guess, when they did the wash and they would stretch their arms out, you'd see underneath their arms, their armpits, or that part of the body that would become exposed, or their sleeves would slide up as they're washing. This is going to be an important point, again, based on the Gemaras that we saw maybe last week, and we're going to have to see the parameters of this. We spoke about it last week, actually. You can't look at clothing, women's clothing, of a woman whom you recognize, whom you know. I feel ain't a maleha. Even if you know, if you have an extra neighbor who you know what she looks like, and you're looking at the clothes that are hanging on the clothesline, that would be aser. If it's stam clothing on a rack, so women's clothing on a rack, even nice, colorful women's clothing on a rack, there's no iser. But if it's women's clothing that you know who she is, that would be aser. Shema yavala harba. Okay, that makes sense. That we spoke about last week. Now there's going to be a halacha that is very nogel maisa, very nogel maisa, and I think we have to find out the parameters of it. What happens when you're walking? And this happens all over. It can happen in a shul itself while you're walking down to the kiddush. Paga isha b'shuk. You bump into a woman in the shuk. Asul halicha achareha. You're not allowed to walk behind her. Ella rots. You should run. We saw the Gemara that this is based on last week. Misalka etzdadin, and you should sort of walk so that she's, you know, parallel to you, to your side. Oh, la'achrav, or pull ahead of her so that she's now behind you. Okay, the next halacha we'll mention, but we're not really going to talk about it. That's self-explanatory, to stay away from the homes of harlots. But we're not going to talk about it. Let's talk about some of these halachos regarding the is of walking behind a woman. Now, obviously, in Manhattan, it's nearly impossible because 51% of the population are women, and they're walking the streets, and I don't know what to tell you about the streets of Manhattan. But if you, other than the streets of Manhattan, in normal circumstances, you're not supposed to walk behind a woman. So what does behind a woman mean? That means if there's a woman, you know, 40 feet ahead, you're going on a walk and on the boardwalk, and 40 feet ahead, there's a woman who's doing her, you know, her power walk in front of you, 40 feet. So do you have to start running really fast to try to overtake her and go in front of her? So Ber Hetev says, no, it's only if it's Besoch Da'ad HaMoseh, if you find yourself within 6 to 8 feet behind her, that's when then there's the Isser of walking behind a woman. Comes the Radvaz and says, no, it's not a matter of, where do you get this Da'ad HaMoseh from? Well, Da'ad HaMoseh, we're not talking about, you know, walking in front of somebody davening Shmoneh Esrei here. We're talking about you're behind a woman and you see her, how she's moving. The Radvaz cause of Delo Sagi Kishu Yarchik Da'ad HaMoseh, that you don't clearly see her walking with snowsand and her movement. It's us. If you see her going for a power walk, you see her swinging her arms, you see the weights in her hand, you see the, you know, taking her strides, you know, you could clearly see that that's going to be also. So even if you're 20, 30 feet behind her, that would be also, says Radvaz. If you're far enough away that there's a girl all the way, you know, 1,000 feet in front, or, you know, 500 feet in front of her, you see there's a woman there. You could barely see that she's a woman. You just said because it's a skirt, it looks like a skirt, or it's a pink outfit and not a, you know, a guy wouldn't be wearing a pink outfit. Normal guys wouldn't be wearing pink outfits under most situations. So, you know, that she happens to be a woman, but you can't really make out the distinct features. That would not be something that would have, that would be subject to this issur. I think these points are relatively, pretty obvious, except for the kula. Now we appreciate this. I think it's a Trumas Hadashim, was a kula. That's only, the issur is only a Tauch Da'ad HaMoseh. Okay. Now, is the issur only because she's not so dressed properly? What if she's mamish wearing a longer skirt, mit longer sleeves? And she's mamas dressed completely sneistically. So there's nothing to look at. She's completely covered up. Is it still a problem? So the Ber Hetev on the Shulchan Aruch says clearly that Isur Zeh b'chol ha'anashim, all men, u'b'chol ha'mekamos, meaning even if you're 85 years old and you don't think you have much of a Yetzahara, and it's b'chol ha'mekamos, it's not just, you know, on the beach, it's even walking down Central Avenue, even in the, if they wear a hijab, you know, they wear the, like, what's the, not the tzurikarta, the, Leif Tahar cult, you know, that Leif Tahar cult, they mamish, they're covered up from head to toe.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
So you're not looking at any, there's no flesh that's exposed. You're not looking at anything uncovered. It's just the walking behind a woman. I guess you see the movements of a woman in a clear way, right in front of you, either within Dalet Amos or in a way that's still clear that you can see the movements. That would be something to avoid and quickly try to go at least to the side, if not in front of. Again, if you're close enough that you could see her and her movements clearly. What happens if you can't always do it? Sometimes she, you know, when sometimes you go, you know, when I go jogging, you know, the best thing that you could ever do, the best thing that happens when I'm jogging is that there's a guy who's jogging ahead of me, and it pushes me to go faster. So what happens if there's a lady in front of you, and okay, you're gonna overtake her, but she's tack on a power walk and she moves and she's walking quickly. I can't so quickly, you know, overtake her. So what am I supposed to do? Should I stop and not go? Should I not walk anymore? Should I just turn around and go somewhere else? I was going to go shopping. I guess there's a woman in front of me. I'm going to, you know, I don't know. I'll, you know, I was going to go to Gourmet Glad and there's a woman there. So I'm not going to go to Gourmet Glad today. I'll go, you know, to the cleaners instead. So again, it could be that in Arab times, women are more on the streets than they ever were. I assume that is the case, and therefore this is not an easy halacha to figure out how to maneuver with. But says the Pesachei Tshuva, what happens if you're not able to overtake the woman in front of you? Because she's walking too quickly, because you can't walk so fast, or there are just too many of them, meaning which is pretty much the case. You know, try going to Gourmet Glot and make sure that you don't have a woman within the, you know, down the aisle in front of you. Like, what are you talking about? Thursday afternoon, Friday morning, Gourmet Glot. It's what are you supposed to do? You're not able to either overtake them or get to the side of them, so you're not walking behind them. Lidvar mitzvah. If there's nothing that you could do, that's not enough. Plus, you're going for a dvar mitzvah that you won't be able to fulfill if you have to, you know, delay. Then the other option is yiska eino bekarka, look down, v'yelech v'lo yagbiyem min hakarka, keep your eyes planted on the floor, don't look, you know, don't stare at the, even though you're going forward, but there's a woman there, so you shouldn't. We should protect Jewish women, should be not just Jewish women, it says here. It's talking about any women. We should keep our eyes down and, you know, do your shopping. Look at the, keep your eyes focused on the tomatoes and on the grapefruits, not on the women in front of you online in Gourmet Glot. Fine. But the Pesachei Tshuva is medayik in that Radvaz, and he says, keep in mind, that's only if you're going for Dvar Mitzvah. Mash tatakanta zu di yiska ina bekarka. Lo mahani el adavka v'memara lidvar mitzvah. Not stam. It's not just that you're in a situation that's difficult. So shut your eyes. You know, keep your eyes down on the floor. It sounds like if you're going for a dvar mitzvah, that you're otherwise going to lose out on the mitzvah. So again, this is obviously a very, 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 very difficult halacha to be makpid on in the world that we live in. And I guess everybody should just do the best they can. Let's finish off the. Before we get into the sugya of Kol Isha, let's finish off with the Shulchan Aruch. It has two more points. The Shulchan Aruch paskens the halacha that we saw in the Rambam earlier. Hamistakel afilu be'etzba ktana shel isha v'neskavi lehanas mimena. If a person gazes even at a pinky, which is not a makom mechusa, but he gazes with the intent to derive pleasure, then ki'ilu nistakel beveis hatorev shela. It's like he's looking at the inappropriate areas of a woman, meaning the point is you can't ever look at any woman, even an area that's revealed, with the intent to derive pleasure from that attractiveness or that part of the body, even if it's something that is not typically a clothed a makom mechusa. Finally, and this is what we're going to talk about now for the second half of this year. Os lishma kol erva olira sara. You can't see her hair, but you can't listen to her voice. We're going to see the parameters, a little bit of Kol Isha. Let's see all of the things that we spoke about, looking and listening and the gazing, and you miskavin with intent to enjoy. Makinosa makas mardus. Again, that would, just imagine if in America that would be the case. Imagine how many floggings we would have. Ve'ela hadvar masurim gam b'chayvei lav, and not just for chiyuvei kareis like eshes ishes and kareises like nidas, but even by chayvei lav, and like again, if you're a kohen and there's a grusha, or if you're a kohen gadol and there's not mana walking around, you can't look at her either. Fine. Let's now talk about kolish a little bit. So Bishmuel, right here on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, says, what's the deal with kol isha? If you were medayik in the language of the Shulchan Aruch was very precise in its language. Also lishma kol of an erva. Erva meaning somebody who's off limits to you, like an eshes ish, maybe a nida. But what about a single girl? A young single girl before she's a nida. Aval kol penuya, o kol ishto, of course, mutter. You're allowed to listen to anybody who's not an erva to you. Your wife isn't an erva to you. A young girl is not an erva to you. Except a separate problem. Ela beis tefila aser, kmo shekasav barachayim. It says in Hilchos Kriyashma that even if you have your own wife, your daughter, whom you're allowed to hear their voice, you're allowed to hear their singing, but not while you're saying Kriyashma or saying brachos or learning or maybe benching. Okay, next point.
Why is the daughter not prohibited? She's an erva to you.
That's a good question. I didn't get into that, but yeah, that's a good question. I don't have an answer for you right now. Continues the Beis Shmuel and says another point. When we say that there's something called kol isha, what is the word definition of the word kol? Is it singing? Is it only a sensuous, throaty, beautiful voice, or is it just casual speaking? Dafka kol erva aser. It's a kol that is an erotic or a singing or a musical kol. Aval kol dibur shel hamutter. To hear, if you're listening to a podcast, it happens to be that there's a female broadcasting the podcast or a female announcer telling you the weather. You know, the meteorologist today is, you know, instead of John who knows who, it's Debbie somebody or other. So you listen to her announce that there's, you know, the barometer is falling and the, you know, the temperature is going like this and there's a 37% chance of rain in the next 2 days. So that's not a kol erva.
And she's is a woman singing shamalos a kol erva? I mean, where do we draw that line?
Okay.
It's not called Isha, it's called Erva, which is, it seems to be a different category.
So it's funny because the way I read this was Us Lishmo Kol of an Erva. That's how I thought of reading it. Erva is the noun, is the person, meaning your daughter-in-law, your Onesius Ish, Enida, and you can't hear her voice.
Also, Sara refers back to an antecedent noun,
which right?
The person.
Sarah is of the erva.
Where the second time it's used, it looks like it refers to the manner of speaking.
Right. So here the Beis Shmuel is playing on that language to say that it's a erva dika kol. It's not that the erva is whom is emitting the kol, but that the kol is an erva dika kol.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I might read it differently. Dafka kol erva aser, aval kol dibur erva shala mutter. So it's maybe it's a takeoff on the word kol.
Could be. Mm-hmm. But we have some sources. Let's get into some of the sources about what kind of voice. Is it just a speaking voice or only a sing voice? So presumably now he's saying there's only a problem if she's singing, but not if she's just speaking. The problem is that there's a Gemara Kedushin that says that there's a story. And it says, I think with Yalsa, if I recall correctly, and the story goes like somebody was talking to Yalsa, and Yalsa was responding and says, I shouldn't really speak to you because it's called Beisha, Erva. In other words, even it sounded like there, I think he was saying, sending regards to her husband or something. I don't remember the details, I'm sorry. The situation was there was a conversation and the Gemara there said, invoked kol Beisha Erva, even in a conversation which was not singing. So it sounds like even speaking is problematic. Tiris Harashba, kol dibur mashu meshal shela shloma garatfei. That if she would respond, if you would say, again, when you say, hi, how are you? You don't mean, how are you? When you want to, if you ever said to somebody, how are you? And they would actually tell you how they're doing, you're like, no, that's not what I say. I just, you know, when I say, how are you? I just mean formality because I have to say, how are you? I'm not really interested in how you are. I couldn't really care less how you feel. I'm not really interested in hearing about your day. I just, when I bump into somebody who I haven't seen, I say, how are you? But don't, please don't, you know, unload on me. I don't have the time, I don't have the emotional energy. Just do me a favor, let's move on. How are you? Weiter. Not how are you? Let me hear how you really are. So the Rashba says that if the Shela Shalom, that Gemara was talking about a conversation, even in conversation, but there was some kind of more emotionally laden type of conversation. It was, how are you feeling? That maybe would be problematic with a, even though it's not a, that would be problematic in the realm of Kol Isha, even if it's not singing. So if you just say, hi, how you doing? You know, have a good day. You know, 37% of showers in the next, you know, and it's going up to 57 degrees today in Central Park. That's not Kol Isha. But if it's a, so good to see you, how are you feeling? Tell me what's on your mind. That kind of conversation might go onto the rubric of what constitutes Kol Isha Pasuk. Okay, we're not going to get into that. What I'd like to talk about is go through two tshuvas right now for the second half of this year, or the last third, I should say, is two tshuvas, one for emotion, one for Avadia. First tshuva, again, these are fundamental, you know, famous tshuvas about in the sugya of Kol Isha, is Reb Moshe was asked by a principal of a girls' school, maybe it was a boys' and a girls' school, that the fathers of the girls want to come to the play of their daughter. Their daughter's putting on a play, a production, whether it's second grade, ninth grade, seventh grade. Where do we draw the line of the fathers coming to the kids, their daughter's plays, and hearing the girls singing? Because to just say, oh, you know, we don't allow fathers to our daughter's plays, he says that's not going to fly where I live, and which is true. It won't fly so easily. Where are we going to put the cutoff? At what grade will we say, you know, adkan v'sulo, you could let the fathers come to their daughter's plays, and at which point will we say, no, that's no longer acceptable because there's a concern of Kol Isha. So first of all, he points out something that I've been, you know, inserting every time we saw the word erva, as opposed to panuya. When we saw the difference between erva and panuya, that you'll have to look at a panuya. So I always said, if she's not an either. That's the first point Ramosha says. Ramosha says that whenever we talk about the word panuya, the whatever leniencies we find for a panuya, maybe you'll say that kol isha be'erva, right? It's only kol isha erva, if she's an erva. You remember that the lush of the Ram of the Shulchan Aruch was? Asa l'shma kol erva. Right, but you'll argue that a panuya is not an erva, right? Single girl, stam, a nice, pretty Beis Yaakov girl in 11th, 12th grade. She's not an erva. It's not my mother-in-law. She's not my daughter-in-law. She's not my aunt. She's not my sister-in-law. She's not an Eishes Ish. So I can listen to her sing, right? So Ramosha says whenever you talk about panuya only means when she's not an ida. That's number one. Okay, what about anachris? That's also an important question. Anachris is not an erva either, right? So you let us sing hear a non-Jewish woman sing? Says Ramosha, at anachris, came into Asura Balav, there is an Isidaraisa to marry anachris. You could even kill a guy who's living with anachris if it's kanam pogamo, the koris medivri kabbalah. So there are all kinds of Yisurim involved with marrying Gentile women. Afitzina, Hibidal Yisurim, there are whatever the certain things that Chazal said. So certainly, being with a Gentile woman is definitely off limits. Therefore, even though she's not halachically an erva in the formal sense of the word, there's no karis midaraisa for bio with a nachris. So there's not the regular parameters of an erva, but she's still considered an erva for all of these halachas that we're speaking of in terms of looking, in terms of hearing. L'chein yesh l'din erva, an achras just like all the other rayas. Okay, so now we have to figure out what happens if you have a woman who's Jewish, she's not an achras, and she's a penuya, and she's a tahora, so she's alamailis. So what's the yisr? Achmash yesh lachos shulamash kasav mishnah brura. Al zemer penuya shemutter, right? So hearing a single girl sing should be mutter. Ach, but we have to be concerned with something outside of the isur of kol isha per se. Shelo yichavi lehanos mizek kadesh lo yava lidehir. remember, there are always two things that we have to, two tracks that we simultaneously have to reckon with. Number one, is it a maisa iser? To gaze at a certain thing is usser. To hear a certain thing is usser. Separate and apart from that is, even if there's nothing usser about what you're doing, is it something that potentially could lead to hear her? There are certain things that are objectively usser, even if they don't lead to hear her. And then there's something that is objectively mutter, but if it could lead to hear her, it will still be problematic. And that is where we have to figure out what to draw, where to draw the line. Nira, says the Ramosha. If we're talking about a Pnuya Tahara, you can't say there's an Isser fundamentally to hear her voice or even to look at her if she's a Pnuya Tahara. At least we saw there's a Pasuk in the Eov. So at least to hear her voice, there's no Isser just in hearing her voice per se. Rak mishuchsha shema yavli they hear her. So if that's the case, at what age does if you hear a cute little girl singing, at what age is there a pasuk that will generate hear her? Says Rav Moshe, ein ze ela bepnuya gedola, shitara. Ava bekatanus, a little girl, ein lachash lehear her, ki ein matzli she yisave af meha prutzim af anakrim. Even people are prutzim and goyim who are less careful about these kind of things don't have a taiva for little girls. Memela ein shaya shehar her ba'avera ayde she's takalba. Even if it's nice to look at a cute little girl, you know, a seven-year-old girl walks in, you know, she's a cute, 6 years old, she's a cute little girl. It's not going to generate any kind of hear her. And therefore, if it's mutter and it's not going to generate hear her, let's put two and two together. It should become, if the voice is not an issue because she's a Pnuya Torah and it's not going to generate hear her, so as long as you have those two qualities, it should be mutter to go to your daughter's play. But we have to figure out where that cutoff is, that we have to be worried that maybe there will be her. L'chei nira, l'maisa. Kevan, again, he's talking to the principal who asked this question. The principal said, Rabbi Feinstein, tell me what is the halacha, because that's all I could hold my balabatim to. I'm not, don't tell me what's the chumrah, don't tell me what's the frum way to do it, just tell me what's absolute bottom line halacha. Since you're writing to me, Mr. Principal, you just want me to tell you what's the halach and no more, not what's proper and your shemayim and kafia roi lan shemayis, whatever the proper halach is. Yesh lahatir kishiyihu hamizamros katanos lo yoser mi benos yud alef shana. If the girls are under 11 years old, then it is mutter. But once they're older than 11 years old, gdolos mibnos yiral, once they're already 11 plus, av kashiyadua shadayin lo ro'udam, even though they probably, you know, they're not needed yet if they're 11, most probably, av shemidina, I proved to you that it probably is mutter, because they're not needed, they're not erva. There's no iser histaklis. If there's no hirher that it's going to generate, mikol makom yesh lahachar, kimi achar shekvar yesh bishanim elu, Atash rose dam. There are once in a while some 11-year-olds that might already have seen dam. So therefore, once a girl is 11 years old, no more, the fathers can't come to the plays. Now, keep in mind, ubalotzarech, if you don't have such tough balabatim that demand that they come to their daughter's plays, you should be a little bit more machmer. Ubalotzarech, then ein lahatik kalal. Because this is the kind of area, these types of things, kibidvarim ke'elu, hamachmer kadosh yomer lo. If you could be from in this area, you can never be, there's always room to grow in the areas of Tznius and Kedusha. So if you're not pressured by your Balabatim, you should be a little bit more stringent. But if you are pressured by your Balabatim, you could allow your daughters in school to allow the fathers to the plays until the girls are 11 years old. Once they're 11, then that's the cutoff. So halach lamaisa, I know that in Tag, I think parents go to the, fathers go to the plays until third grade. I think once you get to fourth grade, they do not, if I remember correctly, from my own parenting experience in Tag. Pesach, you remember something different?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't think going past first grade even. I don't know. Not that past first grade, as I recall.
I don't remember.
Come and play a second grade, they let the fathers in.
Okay, maybe the second grade play they do, and then after that they don't. Okay, fine. Which is below 11. Lamaisa Ramosh says till 11, but again, Ramosh says, you know, the idea, okay, so Baruch Hashem, we're a little bit more machmir than the absolute most lenient position that one can adopt. Okay, fine. Now, let's go to the next shaila. The next shaila is very important, and that's, what's the deal with radio? What's the deal with music when you walk into, you know, you walk into Macy's or any store, you walk into any place, and there's always music playing, and there are women's voices, recorded voices. This is the last thing that we'll speak about today. Now, so we have a very beautiful tshuva that we'll learn from Rav Avadia. Rav Avadia starts with Rabbeinu Hananel. And there's a quote from Rabbeinu Hananel that seems to throw a wrench into all of these situations where a woman is singing and you don't see her. Because Rabbeinu Hananel, look at what he says when he describes Kolisha. And we're going to have to calculate what he means.
Here's Rabbeinu Hananel.
Kol, when we talk about Kol Bisha Erva, Kol Afal Gav De'ein Nira Le'inayim Hirur Mihaika. The concept of kol, even though it's not visible, there can still be hirhur. I mean, that's the whole idea of what a kol b'isha erva is. So, if you take Rabbeinu Hananel's words, it sounds like the voice itself is a seductive or a sensuous experience, even without the visual component. If we take this for face value, and leave it at that, it might seem that even if you don't see the woman, and you never saw the woman, and you never have no idea what the woman looks like, nevertheless, voice has a sensuous quality to it. That's what you might think. If that would be the case, then even a kolisha on a radio, kolisha on a tape, or there's no such thing as tapes on a recording, the fact that you hear the voice, that itself potentially could be problematic. That's what seems to be Masha from Rabbeinu Hananel, who says that kol is nothing to do, is something that's a nira le'inayim. Says Rav Avadia, I don't think that's what it means. Says Rav Avadia, la'olam yesh lomar, debi'inan, in order to be usher, there has to be shi'ir roa es ha'isha ha'mishares. So you have to see this woman who's singing. Meaning, if you see the woman who's singing, then you could say, or you know what the woman who's singing looks like, then you could say that her voice has, even though you're not looking at her now, then you could say, because you know what she looks like, that her voice has a sensuous or a seductive quality to it. But the voice in and of itself, without knowing who carries that voice, from whom the voice emanates, the voice itself, without a visual component that you don't have any idea what it looks like, won't be considered an erva. And he brings a fabulous proof, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about skila. As a machlokas in the Gemara Sanhedrin, when it comes to skila, we darshan v'saklu oso ha'edim, I don't remember the words exactly, and we darshan oso, that we only kill, we do skila to the perpetrator, and not with his clothes on. Oso, and not with his begadim. So the question is, what about a woman? When you give skila to a woman, is she supposed to be dressed or not dressed? So the Gemara discusses this machlokas tanaim about this, and the Gemara says that maybe it's possible that a woman should be get skila just like a man, also undressed. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Why are you worried about hear her? If she's going to be stoned, then the people in the Kohanim, or whoever's in the base, wherever they're doing the skila, the Dayanim, it's going to be hear her.
It may bear mentioning that it was considered a benefit not to be dressed because the Misa comes more quickly. Being dressed is
right. It delays, it makes it a little more painful.
May not be relevant, right? Okay. Just
okay.
We saw somebody in Daf Yomi a week ago. We're talking about that Pyeche Kahuna, when they see a woman not dressed properly. Case, oh, when Nazir is shaving her head, now shaving her head, that maybe she shouldn't shave her head at all, not based on Mikdash. But by and Sota, however, it said that Pyeche Kahuna won't have Yetzer at that moment.
Okay. So here the Gemara says, when it talks about the Tana who says that she should indeed get skila undressed, meaning this girl is about to be killed. So the sense she's dead, you know, fine. You're going to see, you know, that's, so you're going to, they're going to have hirurim about a woman who they saw last week. If you don't see it now, there's no yetzara. So that's what the Gemara seems to say. It sounds like only when you see something, is there the ability for the yetzara to latch onto. But if somebody right now, as you're seeing it, is being killed, and then after that it's over, and you're never going to see her again because she's going to be buried, she's going to be dead. So it sounds like the Yetzirah only has its strength on that which is visual. Okay. So therefore, says Rav Avadia, Kishamakir Seisha Shashamei Kol. Let's say you hear your next door neighbor is singing. You know what your next door neighbor looks like. You know what she looks like. So even though she's singing from her living room, it's the spring, summer, the windows are open, you hear her voice coming in from the window, but you know what she looks like. That's definitely going to be Kalisha. He brings another story, another Gemara. The Gemara says, Gemara Megillah says that there was a very beautiful Zona by the name of Rachav, right, in Yeshua. And she was so well known and so beautiful that Kol HaOmer Rachav, Miyad Nikri would have Keri just from hearing her name. And the Gemara there says, or Tosus there says, no, but that's only if you knew her or if you saw her. Meaning, just being reminded of something without having that visual component to it is not sufficient. There always has to be a visual component associated to this arousal that visual component will generate the hirhur. Mashma, shash in roa osa. Even though you don't see her now, but kim shemaski shema, being since you know what she looks like, then saying her name would bring a person to hear her. Well, if that's the case, so if you don't see her now, but you hear her voice, but you know what she looks like, that also would be equally problematic. A third proof that he brings is what we talked about earlier today about Big Day Tzivonim Shalisha. The Gemara said, even if you see a woman's clothing, that's going to be usur. But the Gemara says only if you know whose clothing it is. But again, where you're not seeing it on her. You're seeing your next door neighbor's clothing on the clothing line. That's usur. Why? Because you know what your next door neighbor looks like and you see her clothing on the clothing line. That's what's usur. So again, you see that there has to be, if you just see the clothing on the clothing line, but you don't know, in a store on a rack, that's not usur. It's when there is a when you know what the person looked like, and you have something now to arouse that image of that you have in your mind of what she looks like, that's when it's going to be usur. And therefore, similarly, Kol Ish will be similar to the Big Day Tzivonim, that it will only be usur when you know what she looked or looks like, you've seen her picture, you know what she looks like, you've met her before, then the Kol Ish, even absent any visual, will be problematic. So we have about three sources already for that yesod that Rebbe Avadia puts forth. And therefore, Val Kain, Ein Lahati Kan El Ba'ofen, Shelo Hikira La'olam. So, Rabosai, you go into Macy's and they're playing music, especially during the holiday times, the carols. You have no, and there are women sings, jingle bells, jingle, whatever it is. So you're saying Tehillim while you're in Macy's, and you don't want to stop saying Tehillim because it's Kalisha, but you never saw her. So there's her voice, but the voice is not associated with any human. You don't know who the lady singing jingle bells is. Or maybe there's some other more pop music, but you never saw the covers of the records of the pop music singers. So you don't know what the contemporary pop artists look like. So if you don't know what they look like, you've never seen even pictures of them or videos of them, then the voices will not be meaningful voices, will not be considered central voices, and therefore that will not be considered kolisha. That is what Rebbe Avadia concludes. And therefore, based on that, similarly, Bishmias Kalisha Biradio, there, again, assuming that you don't know what she looks like. If it's a famous singer that you've seen her picture in the newspapers or on advertisements or you watch the Super Bowl halftime show and you know what they look like, then anytime you hear her voice, your mind will go back to the visual impression that you had previously, and that would. Right, he asks, even if you once saw a picture of her, Avenir Dal Kopanim Ra Tsuras Betmuna, already that Ein LaHakel B'zeh, and will already be Chayshinan Lahir her. Once you had seen something, even a picture, that I think would be a general. So we saw two halachas as far as the cutoff point for age when it comes to your little daughters. We say the cutoff point is 11. Ramosha tells us, and in terms of hearing voices that you don't know. Avadi said that's much as long as you never saw a picture of her.
So according to Chacham Avadi, you have to leave the store?
What?
According to Chacham Avadi, you have to leave the store if you recognize the voice?
So if you know the voice, meaning you know the voice, let's say you hear a woman singing, I remember, back in the day, I saw a picture of her on the front page of whatever. So you know what she looks like, and now you hear her voice. So that would be, that's Kalisha, that's us to listen to.
You have to leave the store, or it's just like, I'm not paying attention. That's not why I'm there. They're to shop.
Yeah. I know the poskim talk about music during the 9 days, and they talk about you know, if you're going shopping during the 9 day, you're not supposed to go shopping during the 9 days. So if you're whatever in a place where there's music during the 9 days, you don't have to, that's not a problem of hearing music because it's not something that you're intending to. If, you should not focus on it, I guess. You know, I can't say you have to leave a store if there's a woman who's singing who you...
This was Nageya dating. Well, it's a long time ago for me, but dating, and you go to a lounge during Sphira. And there's always going to be some music. Do you have to walk out of the lounge in the middle of Sphira when you're on
stage? Live music or recorded music? Yeah. If it's just recorded music, so you don't have to leave. If it's live music, that might be a little bit of a different situation.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.